either reserve.
الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين. صدق الله العظيم. ويأتي في الرواية أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل المدينة فوجد اليهود صياما يوم عاشوراء فقال ما هذا اليوم الذي تصومونه؟ قالوا هذا يوم عظيم، أنجى الله فيه موسى وقومه وغرق فرعون وقومه، فصامه موسى شكرا ونحن نصومه. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحن أحق وأولى بموسى منكم، فصامه وأمر بصيامه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, from the first day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salatu wasalam into this world, it was also the same day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed shaitan also to come down into this world. Shaitan to carry out that promise which he made to Allah, فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that by the qasam of your izzat and your honor and your dignity, I will deviate each and every one of them. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعِنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعِنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, I will come to them from the right, the left, from front, from behind, from every direction in order to deviate them. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came down into this world with haqq, with the truth, and the invitation towards the truth. And shaitan came down into this world with batil, with deviation, and with the invitation towards deviation. And from that time, throughout the ages, throughout the annals of human history, a confrontation has been taking place on the one hand with the agents of haqq, the true lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the propagators of the true message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have endeavored to call out and to strive and to establish that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. And on the other hand, the agents of batil, the friends of shaitan, those whose hearts are devoid of the love of Allah, have been endeavoring to establish the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bring alive that way of life which draws the la'nat and the curses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only by their own practical example, but by inviting and propagating others towards this way. And this type of confrontation has continually been occurring throughout the ages. Sometimes apparent victory would be accorded to the agents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the propagators of truth, and sometimes apparent victory would go towards the disbelievers and the agents of shaitan. This is what is referred to in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he mentioned on the occasion of Uhud, when outwardly it appeared as if the Muslims had suffered a great defeat, when he said, Al-harbu sajalum baynana yanaluna minna wa nanalu minhu, that these confrontations, these wars between haqq and batil, are a pendulum that is swinging sometimes in our favor and sometimes in their favor. This type of confrontation throughout the ages has been occurring, and in this world the stage of Allah had been set. Tabarakalladhi biyadihi al-mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. The stage of Allah on this earth wherein no tangible, apparent, conceivable creation of this world was the object and purpose of the life of this human being. But in fact, the true perspective and reality of his life in this world is that Allah had set the stage in order to test him. Will he go towards the way of Allah? Will he adopt the way of the friends of Allah? Will he endow himself with the true love of Allah? Will he propagate that way which is pleasing to Allah? Or will he turn his back on Allah, on the messengers of Allah, on the invitation which originated from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam and which was propagated throughout the ages by Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam till this chain culminated with the coming of Imamul Anbiya, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inna ja'alna ma'ala al-ardi zinatan laha linabluwahum ayyuhum ahsanu amala. Allah says, we made the things of this world zinat, attraction, beautification, embellishment, linabluwahum, in order to test you. Allah is testing each one of us. Are we going to make the things of this world the object of our life, or are we going to make the pleasure of Allah the object of our life? Those who have pleased Allah, those who have made Allah their goal, whether they are wealthy, whether they are poor, whether in endeavoring to acquire the pleasure of Allah, their limbs are lost, whether their lives are lost, whether their properties are lost, whether their worldly respect and honor and respect is lost, if they have pleased Allah and have left this world in such a condition, then regardless of their material position or standing, they are 100% successful. Conversely, those who have made the purpose and object of their life anything else besides this, besides the pleasure of Allah, they are motivated either by the desire to please their own nafs, or they are motivated by the dictates and demands of society, or the haram dictates and demands of their wives and children. Regardless of their motivation, regardless of their direction, if their goal and their object is anything else besides Allah, then they may have left this world with all the wealth and all the possessions, but their lot is total and complete failure and destruction and loss. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِ فَاتَّقُونَ. Tell them, the losers are those who have put themselves and their families into loss and destruction on the day of judgment. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. This is loss. Loss of property, loss of wealth, loss of life, loss of worldly respect, that is not a loss. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. He can lose everything. If he is saved from Jahannam and he enters Jannat, he is 100% successful. The tragedy and travesty that is facing each and every one of us is that this concept of success or failure, you will not find it in the schools. You will not find it in the media. You will not find it in the propaganda machine around us. You will not find it, tragically, even in the Muslim homes, Muslim bazaars, Muslim towns, Muslim countries, and Muslim governments also. This very idea or concept that success has nothing to do with the material things of this world, that is anathema that has come out of our hearts, that has come out of our minds. And the pendulum of time is continuing. The clock is ticking. Just to digress, we find this time. Time is such a vessel whose movement is very perplexed, very confusing. A normal vessel in this world, when it moves forward, everything that is in it, it carries with it. When it moves backward, everything that is in it, it carries with it backwards. The waves of the sea, when they rise up, they take everything with it and cause it to rise up. And when the wave comes down, it brings down everything with it. But time is such a vessel that it is moving backwards all the time. It is diminishing all the time. It is getting finished all the time. And that insan that is contained in this time, instead of taking him backwards also, it is pushing him forwards and forwards and forwards all the time. Not the steering, not the accelerator, not the clutch, or not any aspect of this vessel any human being has in his control. The controller and the mover of time is one Allah alone. يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ He enters day into night. يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ He wraps up the night around the day. He wraps up the day around the night. The clock is ticking all the time. The seconds are becoming hours. The hours are becoming days, the days are becoming weeks, the weeks are becoming months, the months are becoming years. And in this, that life of ours gradually, slowly is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And incessantly this movement is taking place all the time. Which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to when he said, أَفَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ يُبْلِيَانِ كُلَّ جَدِيدٍ وَيُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ Why don't you ponder, why don't you reflect on the movement of day and night, on the movement of time? Every new thing is made old. Every distant thing is brought near. The child is just born. At that time his school education or his university education is being planned. How quickly it is the janazah of that same child who is now an adult that is being carried out. يُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ Every distant thing is being brought near all the time. وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ And every promise of Allah, that insan continues to live his life in this world, ignoring those promises, that qabr is coming. Every day that qabr is calling out, أَنَا بَيْتُ الدُّودِ أنا بيت الظلمة أنا بيت الوحدة أنا بيت الوحشة I am the home of insects I am the home of worms I am the home of loneliness I am the home of darkness prepare yourself before you come to me وَيُقَرِّبَانِ كُلَّ بَعِيدٍ Every distant thing is incessantly being brought nearer. وَيَأْتِيَانِ بِكُلِّ مَوْعُودٍ And every promise of Allah, whether it is maut, whether it is qabr, whether it is hashar, whether it is jannat or jahannam, each of those promises all the time are coming closer and closer and closer. With the movement and the ravages of time, what is mentioned in one riwayat, يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ أَيَّامٍ يَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ أَيَّامٍ إِنْ ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ O Ibn Adam, O insan, you are a collection of days. You are a collection of days. When each day that passes, a portion of you is being lost. Yet so foolish this insan is. So blind this insan is to this reality that he celebrates this loss. 365 days or 355 days pass, whether it is the lunar calendar or whether it is the solar calendar, whether it is Muharram or whether it is January. Let us understand that Muharram is Allah's and January is also Allah's. The moon belongs to Allah and the sun also belongs to Allah. Both these calendars belong to Allah and any other calendar that is found, that also belongs to Allah. All this is in His control, it belongs to Him. It's just a question of choice. Like it comes in riwayat that Allah Ta'ala had one special day. In the week there was one special day in the sight of Allah. He asked the Jews without telling them what is that day. Allah asked the Jews that you choose. So the Jews chose Saturday as their special day. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they missed it by one. Then the Christians were asked that you choose. And they chose Sunday. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they went ahead by two, they missed it by two. And the special day was the day of Jumu'ah. Was the Friday, the day of Jumu'ah. Because that was the special day, Allah ta'ala inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah to choose that day. Afdhalul ayyam, the best day. The most superior day, the day of Jumu'ah, that was given to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise with the calendar also, the one that was loved by Allah and preferred by Allah was the lunar calendar. So the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inspired towards choosing the lunar calendar. But the solar calendar belongs to Allah, and the lunar calendar belongs to Allah. And coming back to what we were mentioning, O Ibn Adam, you are a collection of days. Each day that passes, a portion of you is being lost. And this foolish insan celebrates this loss. Who, in his right mind, which intelligent person, after losing 100,000 rand in his business, has a party to celebrate? Which intelligent person in his right mind buys a cake, puts a couple of candles on top, and starts blowing the candles, gathers everybody, and cuts the cake and celebrates 100,000 rand loss that he experienced? In dhahaba yawmun dhahaba ba'duk, every day that has passed from your life, you have lost a portion of yourself. 355 or 365 days go past, then we want to celebrate. Why? Because our imams, the West, has told us to celebrate. And we have to say ameen to what they said. Whether it makes sense, whether it's logical or not, doesn't matter. Like a traveler in the desert, when he's lost, if you tell him to go right, he'll go right. You tell him to go left, he'll go left. You tell him to turn around, he'll turn around also. Wherever you push him, or wherever you send him, he'll go because he's lost. We are lost, and the tragedy is that to guide us, we have found somebody that is more lost than ourselves. More blind than ourselves. That is why everything they say, we are saying ameen. If they tell us that the object of your life is the degrees of this world, in that is honor, ameen. Gather the wealth of this world that is success for you, ameen. Listen to music that is food for your soul, ameen. Let the ringing of coins be music in your ears, that is your object. In that is the basis of dignity and honor, ameen. Make your women folk into commodities that are exposed in the bazaar. Rip them and rend them of their haya and their shame. And make them objects that each and all and sundry can look and stare at openly and comment over. In that is, you are going ahead, you are keeping up with the time, you are a contemporary thinker. Islam is a contemporary religion, ameen. Make your youth wear necklaces, make them wear chains around their necks. Let your young boys put on earrings. Gender equality. They have to keep up with the times. How can you distinguish and differentiate? They have a right to express their authority and their personalities. Ameen. No matter how foolish and how stupid it is. Ameen. We are an ummah that has lost its culture, that has forgotten its culture, that has lost its direction. We have forgotten Allah. We have forgotten Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have forgotten the Quran. We have forgotten the way of life of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have forgotten his appearance. We have forgotten his walking. We have forgotten his eating. We have forgotten his talking. We have forgotten each and every aspect of his life. That is why we have become this rudderless ship in the ocean that is being flung in every direction. And unquestioningly, this person with partial eyesight is asking the blind person to lead him. And the clock is ticking. Time has to continue. It is in Allah's control. That Allah who has created time, that Allah who has created this life, that Allah who has created this earth, that Allah who has put into system this means and system by which insan is being tested. And like Allah has ordained that every candle must burn till it extinguishes. And every lantern will be lit till the oil gets finished. And every bulb will burn till it burns out. Every light bulb will continue burning till it burns out in the same way. Like that candle is burning incessantly, the seconds, days, weeks, months and years of this life are continuing incessantly. And the day is coming, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ, that each one will rise up from his qabr. In what condition? كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعَدًا عَلَيْنَا, like we brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers, we will raise you up on the day of judgment in the same condition. When you came from the womb of your mothers, you were bareheaded, barefooted, without any clothes on, and your circumcision had not occurred. We will resurrect each and every one of you in that condition also. The day is coming. The clock is ticking. وَلَكُمْ مِعَادُ يَوْمِ اللَّهِ تَسْتَأْخِرُونَ عَنْهُ سَاعَةً وَلَا تَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah says, each one has an appointed time. He has an appointed time, mi'adu yawm. There is a promised time. And when that time comes, لا تستأخرون عنه ساعة ولا تستقدمون. You will not be able to delay it even by 1 second. وَإِذَا الْمَنِيَّةُ أَنْشَبَتْ أَظْفَارَهَا الْيَوْمَ كُلَّ تَمِيمَةٍ لَا تَنْفَعُ. When moth will bear its claws, at that time no system, no government, no science, no technology of this world will benefit you. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Look at the eloquence of Quran. Allah says, you are not prepared to accept. You are not prepared to accept the reality of maut. You continue to live your life as if there is no maut. You continue to live your life defying Allah without realizing and understanding that this life of yours belongs to Allah. If you are truthful, in kuntum sadiqeen, if you are truthful in this arrogance of yours, when his soul reaches the hulqum, when he is in sakarat, call your doctors, bring your life support machines, call your scientists, bring your medicines, and take his soul and put it back into his body. Put it back into his body. Give him 1 second more life. Genghis Khan, the greatest conqueror in the annals of human history. Hundreds of thousands of Muslims slaughtered at his hands. Conquest upon conquest. He reaches the age of 70. When he has reached the height of his conquest, now the time has come to rule. So what does he do? He gathers together all the doctors and he says to them, my whole life was spent in battles and wars, in conquering. Now I have achieved the height of my conquest, but now I am gone old, 70 years of age. Name your price, but in return, show me a way that I can extend my life. Let me extend my life because I want to enjoy the fruits of my conquest. With one voice they replied, whatever remains of your life, whatever remains of your life, that it should be spent in health and ease, the asbab and the means for that we can show you. But with regards to extending your life, that even 1 second is not in our control. Only 4 years more that Zalim lived. He could rule only for 4 years and he also was gone, and gone to such an extent, the greatest conqueror in the annals of human history, it is not even known where his grave is also. That is the wafadari and that is the loyalty of the life of this world. The difference is that that candle will burn till it burns out, and that lantern will burn till the oil gets finished, and that light bulb in your home will burn, and it will till it burns out and it will be taken and thrown into the garbage heap. But the life of this insan in this world, it will reach its end. He will reach maut. But at the point of maut, it will not be destroyed, it will not be diminished, but every second, every moment, every utterance, every glance, every thought is preserved in the treasures of Allah. بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Allah says, my angels, my messengers are with you. And not just with you, يَكْتُبُونَ, they are writing down everything. Every time your eyes strayed, they wrote that down. Every breath of air that entered was written down. Every glance of your eyes, every pattering that went into your ears. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْآيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah says, leave the wrong actions. Every time your glance made khianat, every time your glance strayed towards the daughter of someone else and towards that which Allah forbade you from, that also was recorded. And not only that, وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ, what you hid in your heart, what you hid in your heart, that also was recorded. Nothing escapes. Nothing escapes. Ya bunayya innaha إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله. Luqman addresses his son, oh my beloved son, if that action you carried out, if it was smaller than the grain of mustard seed, then it was concealed in some rock, somewhere in the heavens and somewhere in the earth, a day is coming. يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. The wax of that candle was lost, that light bulb was lost, the oil of that lantern was lost, but that amal and action of yours, that zulm and oppression of yours, that wrong that you carried out, or that good deed that you carried out, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Allah is going to bring that deed also in front of you. Nothing will be hidden. The day is coming, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صُفًّا صُفًّا. When Allah will come, the scales of Allah's justice will be set up. وَجِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. Jahannam will be brought, blazing, blazing hot, terrible stench, shouting out to Allah, اِتِنِي بِمَا وَعَدْتَنِي. O Allah, hand me over my residence. Hand me over my residence. My chains have increased. My hameem, my boiling fetid water has increased. My blood and pus has increased. My cause has increased. Hand me over my residence. One hand, Jahannam will come. وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Jannat will be brought near also. Beautiful smelling, shining attraction. Calling out to Allah, O my Allah, hand me over my residence. My streams have increased, my honey has increased, my wine has increased, my rivers are overflowing, my palaces have increased. Hand me over my residence. The day of justice is coming. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah says the scales of justice will be set up. What a day that will be! When the zalim and oppressor of this world who got away with his oppression, who got away with his injustice, who hid behind his weapons, who hid behind his technology, who hid behind his false propaganda and media, on that day he will be saying, مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Who raised us up from these graves? Why were we raised up? And on the other hand, the mazloom, the oppressed one, the one who was trampled upon, those above him took bribes, they ate up his rights, those young women whose inheritance was eaten up, those oppressed ones will reply, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. The promise of Allah has come, the day of justice has come now. It is for this day that we were able to bear the oppression in the world. It is for this day that we were able to swallow the thorns in this world while smiling. We knew that this day is coming. In the world we are to buy justice. In the world we are to pay those lawyers. And then to the judge would be bought off. In the world we were oppressed, but we knew that this day is coming. A day when Allah will be meeting out justice. Such a ruler who cannot be bought off. Such a ruler who cannot be bribed. Such a ruler whose knowledge is so complete that the mujrimeen on that day will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ الصَّغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What type of a book is this? Every azan that fell on deaf ears is here. Each time I made ghibat is here. Every zina is here. Every transgression is here. Every music is here. Each time my foot went towards the dens of vice, it is mentioned. What type of a book is this? Ayn al-mafar? Ayn al-mafar? The angels will call out, where are you going to run to now? Where are you going to hide? Behind which official are you going to hide? Behind which family are you going to hide? Behind which wealth are you going to hide? Where is your taqat and your power today? The day of absolute justice, when nothing will be hidden, no one will be able to hide, that day is coming. That day which Quran repeatedly reminds us, day, yawm, Allah says yawm. Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata. Inna yawm al-fasli miqatuhum ajma'in. Thalika yawmun mashhud. Qul inna al-awwaleen wal-akhirin lamajmu'oon ila miqati yawmin ma'loom. Wamtazu al-yawma ayyuhal mujribun. Yawma ya'ti la takallamu nafsun illa bi'idhnih. Yawma la yanfa'u al-zalimeen ma'ziratuhum. Yawma yaj'alu al-bildana shiba. Maliki يوم الدين يوم التغابن يوم الفصل يوم الحشر يوم الجنة يوم الجهنم يوم. Repeatedly Allah is saying the day is coming, the day is coming, the clock is ticking, prepare yourself for that day. Muharram has come, another year has passed, and each year on this occasion of Muharram, with the acceptance of this new year, we are being reminded, an opportunity is being given to us to remember. What must we remember? Remember that sabak and that lesson that has been forgotten. What lesson? That lesson, my respected brothers, is that this life is an amanat. Every second is an amanat. Your youth is an amanat, your old age is an amanat, your wealth is an amanat. The faculties which Allah Ta'ala has given you are an amanat, are a trust. And it is not disappearing with the movement of time, it is not disappearing, it is going into the khazana, into the treasures of Allah, where you will have to account for this amanat. This life is not your life. This wealth is not your wealth. It is the property of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah has bought your wealth and Allah has bought your life in return for Jannah. This is an amanat. It is purchased. It is the milkiyat. It is in the ownership of Allah, this life. Do not take it for granted. Muharram has come. A new year has come. Once again, an opportunity has come for us to revise and renew our contract with Allah. This transaction has taken place with Allah. Even in this world, when someone reneges on a transaction, sale was done and then he goes against his word. He can be a millionaire or he can be a pauper. Everyone will look down on him. If a businessman is known for reneging on his transaction, everyone in the bazaar will be speaking ill about him. The whole society will speak ill about him. Even in this world. What about the one who has reneged on his contract with Allah? Not just reneged on his contract, he has forgotten this contract. With the Muharram of each year, we are reminded of this contract. Because like we mentioned, January belongs to Allah, Muharram belongs to Allah, time belongs to Allah. Certain incidents occurred in this Muharram, which serve as a reminder to us about those chosen souls of Allah who fulfill their transaction with Allah. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهد الله عليه. Some amongst the believers are men, صدقوا ما عاهد الله عليه, who have been truthful in their contract with Allah, have been truthful in the sale and purchase agreement with Allah. So truthful that they were not prepared to sell themselves. They were not prepared to hand themselves over to their desires. They were not prepared to hand themselves over to the seats and positions of this world. They were not prepared to hand themselves over to the najais and haram dictates of their families. Their purpose and their object in this world was only the pleasure of Allah. They were true to this covenant with Allah. The first of Muharram is that day in which Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was placed in his qabr. What more reminder do we want of the true and chosen ones of Allah who fulfilled their covenant with Allah?
That personality who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. If there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. Who on his Islam, Jibreel comes to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, are you rejoicing, are you happy over the Islam of Umar? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, yes, the believers are happy over the Islam of Umar. Jibreel says, O Nabi of Allah, even the Malaika are rejoicing over the Islam of Umar. Such a personality, that on the day of Arafat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is that day in which Allah is making fakhr. Allah is boasting about my ummah in front of his angels, and Allah is boasting specially about Umar. Such position, where in one majlis, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Abdurrahman bin Auf fil Jannah, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah fil Jannah, Saad bin Abi Waqqas fil Jannah, Saeed bin Zayd fil Jannah. He was amongst those 10 who in one majlis, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they are Jannatis. Once he entered the masjid, right hand side Abu Bakr, left hand side Umar, he caught hold of the hands of both these sahaba and he said, Hakada nuhsharu yawm al qiyamah. That just like this, in this position of togetherness, Allah will raise us up on the day of judgment. He said, I have 2 ministers in the skies, 2 ministers on the earth. My 2 ministers in the sky are Jibrail and Mikail. My 2 ministers on this earth are Abu Bakr and Umar. That personality, under whose rulership Allah Ta'ala brought 2,400,000 square miles into Islam. His rulership, his khilafat was over 2,400,000 square miles. And yet, what level of khawf of Allah? What level of fear of Allah? No sense of complacency. He's making gasht at night in Medina Munawwara. Famous incident. But reflect, realize. Comes across a woman whose children are crying. Why are you crying? She says, my children are hungry. She was living in a tent outside Medina. My children are hungry, there is no food. Tomorrow in the court of Allah, I will call Umar to count in front of Allah. I will take Umar to task. This is his injustice, is his oppression, that I am hungry and my children are hungry. He says to her, oh sister, Umar does not know of your position. Umar is unaware of your situation. She says, then why did he become our Khalifa? Why did he become our Khalifa? If he is our Khalifa, he has to make it his business to know of our situation. Rushes back to the Baytul Mal, prepares a sack of food, lifts it onto his own back. Aslam, his slave, says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, let me lift this. He says, O Aslam, tomorrow on the day of judgment, are you going to carry my burden in front of Allah? Are you going to give answer for me in front of Allah? I will have to carry my own burden. He carries the sack on his own back and he goes, prepares the food for this family. After preparing the food, personally hands the food over, serves the children. And then he sits a little bit to one side. Aslam says, I could see the smoke going through the thick beard of Umar. He says to me, Aslam, do you know why I am sitting here? He says, why, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He says, I saw these children crying in hunger. Now it pleases me to see them playing, that their stomachs are full. And then when bidding farewell from that woman, look at the tawazu and humility of Umar. He says to her, that when you come to Medina Munawwara, and you come to the court, or you come to the position of the Khalifa, he doesn't say you will find Umar there. He doesn't say you will find Umar there. He says you will find me nearby. One night making gush, Bedouin outside Medina Munawwara, his wife is going into labor. His khilafat spans more than 2 million square miles. When he hears the wife of this person is going into labor, runs to his house, wakes up his own wife, the queen, the wife of the Khalifa, with this exhortation, there is an opportunity for you to earn neki. There is an opportunity for you to earn reward from Allah. Run now. She delivers the child of a pauper and Bedouin living in a tent outside Medina. And when she brings the child outside the tent, happily, and says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, a son has been born. This Bedouin is overtaken with fear. What? You are Amirul Mu'mineen and you came to deliver my child? This is when the reality of the life of this world had entered the heart. When Allah had become the goal, such level of concern and worry, sitting on a minbar of Masjid an-Nabawi, he starts crying. And he says, a dog dying thirsty on the banks of Dajla, a dog dying thirsty on the banks of Dajla, Allah is going to question Umar about that on the Day of Judgment. Nothing was taken for granted. Sitting on a minbar of Masjid an-Nabawi, he addresses the companions, إِنَّ فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ قَصْرٌ إِنَّ فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ قَصْرٌ لَهُ خَمْسُ مِئَةِ بَابٍ عَلَى كُلِّ بَابٍ خَمْسَةُ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ. In Jannat Adn, Jannat al-Firdaus, there is a palace. It has 500 doors. At each door are 5,000 of the hoors of Jannat. And then he says, Allah has prepared this palace lin nabi, for a nabi. He looks towards the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hani an laka ya sahib hadha al-qabr. Mubarak, mubarak, glad tidings upon you, O resident of this grave. And then he says, wal siddiq, for a siddiq also. He looks at the grave of Abu Bakr. Hani an laka ya sahib hadha al-qabr. Mubarak, glad tidings upon you, O resident of this grave. And then he says, Walish Shaheed. In the path of Allah, while upholding the command of Allah, striving to establish the deen of Allah, to uphold the obedience of Allah on this earth, was never viewed as a failure or a loss, was never lamented over. He says, Allah has prepared this palace for one who has given his life in the path of Allah. And then he heaves a deep sigh. Why? Umar, surrounded by 2 million square miles of Muslim territory, whose name's very name, his mention strikes fear in the hearts of the enemy. In the seat of the Khilafat, at a time when Islam is spreading far and wide, how is Umar ever going to drink from the cup of Shahada? Anna laka shahada ya Umar. Oh Umar, you are surrounded by this fortress. How are you going to experience this sweetness? Then he takes himmat, takes courage. Inna alladhi qadirun ala an yukhrijani min makkata ila hijratil madina. Qadirun ala an yasuqa ilayya shahada. Verily that zad and that being who had the power to take a shepherd Umar, who would leave in the morning with a flock of sheep, and whose foolishness was such, whose carelessness was such, that it was well known in Makkah that if Umar tended sheep, he would lose a few sheep. That Allah who took Umar from the depths of zillat and disgrace and raised him to the seat of Khilafat, that same Allah has the qudrat and power to give Umar shahadat in Medina. And Allah Ta'ala fulfilled this tamanna of Umar. It was the 26th of Zilhijjah, when that mal'oon Firoz pierced the stomach and intestines of Umar with the dagger. It was the 29th of Zilhijjah that he breathed his last, and it was the 1st of Muharram that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There's no time to go into the details of the last moments of the life of Umar, where his head is in the lap of his son. And he says to his son, put my head on the ground. Put my head on the ground. His son says, oh my father, how can I do this? Umar insists. He takes his head and puts it on his shin. Still Umar says, I am not worthy of your love. Put my head on the ground. Finally his son relents. Umar's head is placed on the ground. He begins rubbing his cheeks with the sand of the ground of Medina, saying, Waylun laka ya Umar, Waylun laka ya Umar, illam yaghfir laka rabbuk. You know, Umar, what is going to happen to you if Allah hasn't forgiven you? Waylun laka ya Umar, illam yaghfir laka rabbuk. What is your hashar going to be if Allah is not going to, if Allah doesn't forgive you? Muharram, each year is a reminder. This Muharram, this Islamic calendar, started on this very basis, where this ummah was reminded of this sabak, that this life is an amanat. You have made a transaction with Allah. Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when those 72 were at Aqaba, that bayat which they made, which was the foundation of the starting of the Islamic calendar, the hijrat, the question is posed, هَلْ تَدْرُونَ عَلَى مَا تُبَايِعُونَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْخَزْرَجِ O people of Khazraj, O people of Medina, this bayat constituted the foundation of hijrat, which the Islamic calendar is based on. Islamic calendar started with this hijrat. The ummah has forgotten its sabak. How has this calendar started? Do you know on what basis you are making bayat? They said, Naam, we know. He says, Tubayyunahu ala harbi al-ahmari wal-aswadi min al-nas. Fa'in kuntum tarawna annakum إذا أنهكت أموالكم مصيبة وأشرافكم قتلا أسلمتموه فمن الآن فهي والله خزي الدنيا والآخرة وإن كنتم ترون أنكم وافون بما دعوتموه إليه على نهكة الأموال وقتل الأشراف فخذوه فهو والله خير الدنيا والآخرة. He spells it out to them. That, O people of Medina, this bayat, when you are placing your hand in the hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understand what you are doing. You 72 people, on behalf of the people of Medina, are signing a writ or declaration of war with the whole world. You are signing a declaration that you are prepared to go to war with the whole world. Think about what you are doing. Because if for one second, understand, once you enter into this bayat, once you enter into this contract, take it for granted, you will lose your wealth, you will lose your homes, you will lose your possessions, you will become the target of poverty. And your leaders and elderly ones amongst you will be slaughtered. That is going to happen, I guarantee you. When it happens, if you feel that you are going to forsake Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I request you now to go back to Medina and don't make this bayat. Because then if you leave him, then if you forsake him, then if you turn your backs on him, فَهُوَ خِزْيُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Your akhirat will be lost, your dunya also will be lost. But if you are sure that despite your wealth being lost, and despite your menfolk being slaughtered, despite your homes being rent, despite your dunya being destroyed, you are still gonna stand firm with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then enter into this bayat, because no one understand if you remain firm, there is nothing better for you in this dunya and in the akhirah. They had only one question. O Nabi of Allah, tell us, if we enter into this contract, lose all our wealth and lose our menfolk, everyone is murdered, Medina is destroyed, what are we going to get in return? إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ One word, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah will give you jannat. Upsut yadak ya Rasulullah, stretch out your hand, we are ready to make this bayat. On this bayat, on this foundation, the calendar started. Muharram, each year is a reminder to the last believer till Qiyamah, that understand what is your purpose. This life is not your life. This wealth is not your wealth. And if these sabaks, and if these lessons are not enough, then appreciate that qurbani, that sacrifice, which Imam al-Anbiya, Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave, tolerated with the members of his own family, where his own flesh and blood was sacrificed and slaughtered in this very month. What more example do we want? What more reminder do we want? Where are we going to bring such pure and such prominent and such honorable? Our tongues are not worthy of praising them. Personalities who through whose very veins the blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was flowing. The descendants of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the children of Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that when Hassan is born, she comes with him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh Fatima, what name have you kept for this son of mine?" She says, "I have kept the name Har," which means courageous, which means a warrior. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "His name is not Harb, his name is Hassan." 11 months later, she comes with the next child, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Again he asks the question, "What name have you kept?" She says, "I have kept the name Harb." He says, "This son of mine's name is Hussein, it is not Harb." One riwayat, it comes that before this in the annals of history, these two names, Hassan and Hussein, were concealed from the minds of humanity. No other individual had these names. Allah had reserved it for the grandchildren of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usama radiallahu ta'ala who says, "One night I visited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was talking to him on the streets of Medina. I noticed some movement underneath his chadar and his cloak. After I had concluded the matter, I was discussing with him. I asked him, 'Oh my beloved Nabi, what is underneath your cloak?' He replied to me and said that, 'Oh Usama, these are the children of Fatima and these are my children. Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma fa'ahibbahuma wahbib man ahabbahuma. Oh Allah, I love these two children. Allah, you love them also and love those who love them. Allahumma inni.'" And then he went further and he said, "Allahumma inni uhibbu Husaynan fa ahibbahu. Man ahabba Husaynan faqad ahabbani wa man abghadha Husaynan faqad abghadani. Husaynun faqdun min al-asbab." O kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then he said specifically, "O Allah, I love Husayn, you also love him. The one who loves Husayn loves me. The one who hates Husayn hates me. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking, and on his shoulders, one shoulder was Hassan, the other shoulder was Hussein. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, witnessing this scene, he says, "Ni'mal markubu markubukuma." He looks at the two children and he says, "How honored you are. How fortunate you are. What a great and benevolent conveyance you have." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiles at Umar and says, "Wa ni'mal rakiban." And oh Umar, how honorable are the riders themselves. How honorable are the riders. Sayyida shabab ahlil jannah. That in their youth already the title and the mantle was placed on their shoulders that al-Hasan wal-Husayn, my grandchildren Hassan and Hussein will be the leaders of the youth of Jannah. Once he is giving khutbah, wajib khutbah, Masjid al-Nabawi. And these two little babies, Hassan and Hussein, come running, crawling into the masjid. Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is delivering the khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah. He sees them. He rushes down from the minbar, interrupts the khutbah, goes to his grandchildren, picks them up lovingly, brings them back with him onto the minbar, and he says, "Sadaqallah, my Allah spoke the truth. Innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna. Your wealth and your children are a test for you." He says, "I saw my grandchildren. I could not control myself." As if apologetically, but sabak is being taught of shafqat to the ummah. I could not control myself. Once he's reading Salah, Nafil Salah, the one grandson jumps onto his back and the other grandson goes between underneath his chest and they start playing with one another, taking turns to jump on his back. When the one is on the back, the other one is underneath the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba seeing this, they come closer to remove the children in his sajda, in salah. He makes ishara to them that leave my children alone. And he patiently lengthens the sajda. One narration he comes, he stretches himself out further to give them more place to play. He lengthens the sajda till they become tired and they separate themselves. Then he gets up from the sajda. So one night he goes to the home of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. The family is sleeping. Hassan gets up and he requests water. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hearing the plea of Hassan, gets up quickly, goes outside and approaches, it comes in the riwayat, such a goat whose udders had dried up. It was unable to give milk anymore. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes his mubarak hands over the udders of this goat and it fills up with milk. He milks this goat, fills a container. When he enters back in the house, in the interim, Hussein also had woken up. Hussein, who by nature was more belligerent and more zealous, jumps forward in front of Hassan. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Hussein, you go back. He calls Hassan, gives him milk first. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, seeing this, asks him, oh my beloved Nabi, oh my beloved father, do you love Hassan more? Do you love Hassan more than Hussein? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, but the one who asked first should receive first. But in reality, he had slightly more affection for Hassan than Hussein. Because Muarikhin say that Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from his forehead till his hip, resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from his hip to his feet, he resembled Ali. And Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, conversely, from his forehead to his hip, resembled Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from his hip to his feet, he resembled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such personalities, we can go on with the fazail and virtues. This is just for us to appreciate and understand the level of qurbani and the level of sacrifice that was given. The time also is in Allah's control. Allah chose this day. Ashura's significance. We mentioned the riwayat in the beginning that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara, he found the Jews fasting on this day. So he asked them, why are you fasting? They said, this is the day in which Allah freed Musa alayhi salatu was salam from Fir'aun. And Allah drowned Fir'aun and his people. Because of this, out of shukr and gratitude, Musa alayhi salatu was salam fasted on this day. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam hears this, he says, we, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have more right to Musa than you. We preserved his message, you distorted his message. We have more right. So he fasted and he ordered his companions also to fast on this day of Ashura. And because they, in the generations to come, this possible speculation could arise that the Muslims are imitating the Jews by fasting on the same day that they fast. Try and appreciate the veracity of what I am saying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not tolerate even this level of imitation. That you fast on the day they fast. What answer are we going to give him on the day of judgment? When he is going to see that his ummah dressed like them. His ummah talked like them. His ummah walked like them. His ummah ate like them. His ummah lived like them. His ummah's day was like theirs. His ummah's night was like theirs. What answer are we going to give? When from that mantle of nubuwwat, the stringent warning came, مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Imitate a nation and Allah will raise you with that nation. Dress like a nation, Allah will raise you like a nation. Honor a nation, Allah will raise you with them. Look up to them as your imams and your leaders. Allah will raise you with that nation on the day of judgment. In whose self do we want to be? Where do we want to be raised up? What impression are we putting forth? What is our day? What is our night? He said, even in this fast, do not imitate the Jews. Fast on the 9th and the 10th. And ulama say 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. Such a fast, you kaffiru sanat al-madiyah. 1 year's sins Allah will wipe out. Such a day, Ashura. Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah blessed him by making it such that his shahadat also took place on this day of Ashura. Thursday, Shimmer, and Umar bin Saad with an army of 3,000 surrounded the companions of Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 72, 40 on horseback and 32 on foot. And from the 72, according to various riwayats, 23 or 22 were from the Ahl Bayt, from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of this 22 or 23, 16 or 17 were Ali Rasul, direct descendants, in other words, from the progeny of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha.